Then our gospel reading and reading for the sermon comes out of the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, starting chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And this is the story of the Transfiguration. I mentioned earlier that's Transfiguration Sunday, and it may seem like an odd moment to highlight in the church year, but I believe it's an important moment for us to remember and to be reminded of how we are grounded in Christ. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 1 of chapter 17 of Matthew's gospel. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I find more and more as I go through life how cyclical life can be, how we can go through cycles where we have periods of life that are going well, we're excited, we're enthusiastic, and then we have periods of life where we're not so enthusiastic. We find ourselves in those valleys, struggling to find a way forward, struggling to think about the day even. Sometimes we go through all of those emotions in a single day, multiple times in a day. Sometimes it's more seasonal, spread out over a period of time. But yet there's that cyclical nature of where we experience the highs and the lows of life. I think for us in our time and our place and how we live and interact with one another, this cycle can be more intense for us in how we share news about our life, how we interact with others, how we hear about things. Because we have so much information coming our way, so many words coming our way, so much information about our friends, about our families that can come our way, those cycles can seem even more more polar, I should say, more stronger on one end and stronger on the other. And that can create almost a whiplash effect when we're going through those moments, especially if it's a day where you start the day out awesome and then at 10 you find something out that's not great and you're in the dumps, but by 2 you're back on top of things, and at 5 you're wondering, why did I even get up this morning? I have those days, and I hear people who go through those days as well. It could be a challenge. It can cause us to think about, where is our value? Where does this day even matter? Do our lives matter when it seems so cyclical? These moments of being on the mountaintop, those moments of being in the valley. But for us as a people of faith, I believe it's important for us to be reminded of where our worth, where our value is in these moments, as we go through life, as we encounter moments, as we live through moments, as we hear of moments, because we can find ourselves jarred and uncertain. When I think about the story of the Transfiguration, it's a story that when I think about the story specifically, I think of a stained glass window that was in the church, the church that I attended when I was in college, the McPherson Church of the Brethren. It was 10 feet from my dorm, and even though I'm a good Methodist, 10 feet from the dorm is pretty appealing of a place to go to for church. And also my friends, if I wasn't going, would come and knock on the door and drag me there. And some days I was less dressed than I probably should have been, you know, going to church those days. But I'm thankful I had friends who made sure I got there. But I think about this window, the Transfiguration, and it's a window, you know, not about the size of probably what we have here, but in the upper part there, it was an image of Jesus, and he's kind of just standing there, how the art works, it emphasizes that brightness of how Jesus is shining, how he is having that moment. And then right below, in the lower half of the glass, you see the other disciples there, and they're having that moment where they are down in fear. And I've always thought that is that moment right after that voice came from the cloud, that voice that we attribute to God coming there saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So you have this moment of Jesus in that transfigured appearance, but also with disciples as they're down. You could see that fear that was there with them. And I think about that fear that the disciples had. And it was just a few moments before that you had, you know, Peter saying, "This is a good place for us to be. We are up here with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop. Things are great. Let's make a dwelling for us. Let's just stay up here." I'm adding a little bit to the story there. But that's how I imagine that scene being. And then you have that fear. And I've wondered about that reaction, that fear. I mean, outside of, if the Lord spoke to me, believe me, I would be in fear, probably not very much like the disciples right there in that manner. Especially if Christ was transfigured before me, I mean, I would be down on all fours. But I wonder if they were thinking, you know, yes, this is, you know, the Son, this is Beloved, we're to listen to him. They had that moment realizing they have to come back down. They have to go back to their lives, away from this top, amazing, high point of their lives, back in to the everyday. And I'm struck by how Christ, you know, had that healing presence, even in that moment. That moment where he reached down and touched the disciples, as Christ would touch, as Christ would heal. And invite them to come down and to go. I think about those moments where I have been at the high point, where I have feeling like I'm on top of the world, even if it is a moment I believe the Lord has led me to. Going down from that mountain, going back into the everyday life can be scary, can be full of fear. But as a people of faith, we're reminded in this story, by the healing presence of Christ, how Christ is with us. But that grounding statement, "This is my Son, the Beloved, listen to him." How we're called to be grounded and centered in Christ. And when I'm thinking about the value that we would experience, the things we would encounter in life, I'm reminded of those words. If that is where our value is, that's where our hope is. This moment was significant in a lot of ways, you know, not only because it is that mountaintop experience, but in the cosmology, if I could be so bold to use that word when describing this, the cosmology of the Jewish people, that if you went on top of the mountain, you were close to God. If you want to have that top, you know, divine experience with God, where you would commune with God, as, you know, takes place here or takes place in the Exodus reading when Moses went up to the mountain, you would go up to that mountain and be up there because you are physically closer to God. In some ways, we could think that that would be the aspirational thing in our whole lives. But here's the thing for us. In all this, as we're thinking of working through the mountaintop and the valley, of finding a way forward and considering our value, is that we are mortal human beings. who do find ourselves tugged between the mountaintop and the valley, who experience this change, who experiences these challenges of the high points of life and the low points. Even though the high points may be divinely called for us and set for us, the low points that we go through, it could be a challenge for us because we may think that we do not have that value, or we're abandoned or forsaken. If we think about that statement, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." Those highs and the lows, while they are a part of our lives, it's not the defining aspect. It does not define us. Our smiling faces and the amazing pictures, while they are amazing, enriching, and wonderful memories, it doesn't define us. When we find ourselves in those low moments, those moments we would rather forget and put behind us, those moments, while they are part of our experience and part of the hardship of life, and no doubt have an impact on who we are, does not define us. It's our connection with God. It's the hope that we have, the everlasting hope, that call to listen to my son, that call to be grounded in Christ. I believe it's important to have this grounding, not so much, you know, not only because it grounds us as we go through the highs and lows of life, but rather I believe as a people of faith today, especially in 2020, it's a way of expressing our faith. It's countercultural in some ways to be so grounded in Christ, because by being so grounded in Christ, we're not letting the things that are extras, all the extras in our life, define us. We're letting our hope that is everlasting define us. And I believe as well that can be incredibly evangelistic, especially when we are connecting with people who may not come from a faith background, who may not know Christ. By being grounded in that hope, grounded in that love of God, I believe we can be a light. We can share that grace, share that love, especially when others are struggling, when they are down. Because we are reminded and grounded as a people of faith of where our value is, where our true hope is, where our true definition and essence is, I believe, is that in God, in Christ, in the Spirit. So brothers and sisters, as we go through life, as we find ourselves tugged by the challenges of our life, as we go through those amazing and wonderful mountaintop experiences, and as we go through difficult valleys, may we be grounded in Christ, grounded in the hope and the love of God. And may that be what carries us through all of our days, now and forevermore. Amen.